Faulkner, the director, had apparently exhausted the interest and tolerance of the rest of the team, so he drifted over to Kincaid as the bouncer paced the edges of the stage.
We might be able to hear the ghost before we see it, given the range where it's appeared in the theater.
Elliot threw a switch on a large square apparatus he referred to as a resonating chamber. The caller pulled on his sensory deprivation hood and tilted his head as he adjusted switches near his ears. He seemed to turn with the sound waves. Grimes stood next to Elliot, his armor expanded by the gas. Nearby, Abigail was peering through a viewfinder in what Kincaid had heard as a portable lumatype, a small boxy contraption with lenses and a violet light that shone through a spinning wheel. He had been told this could capture images somehow. She directed this around, turning slowly. Meanwhile, Mel positioned tripods to which she attached larger light projectors, each with its own spinning disc of tinted lenses, and a similarly scaled up lumatype. She was trying to situate these such that they covered the entire stage. Everyone was clearly tense. They kept looking up to see if something might appear. Abigail had let loose the great cat Kincaid had first observed back at Blackwell Hall. Artist, Melick called it, a name shared with one of the three moons. The cat sat near the investigator as if utterly disinterested in what everyone else was doing. The manager, Cecilia, and her assistant, Kellen, had sat down in the first row of patron seats, though the red-haired woman could not keep still. Her hands worked nervously as her eyes darted back and forth, trying to take in all the activity. Kincaid thought she'd make a better bodyguard than he did. She had an impressive attention span.
She's a fraud, you know.
Who? Cecilia?
No, your so-called investigator. You're aware she's an utter novice? You might just as well have had a random gobber lead your team for all her limited experience. A drunk gobber, I would amend. Your odds of survival would be comparable, I dare say.
Kincaid said nothing. He didn't want to give Faulkner the satisfaction of hearing sudden doubt in his voice.
I'm hearing it.
Elliot's voice was muffled by his mask.
It's here.
The entire group froze. The peculiar flickering violet illumination from the overlapping projector created a sensation of shadowy movement. The auditorium seemed to change shades, and Kincaid could feel the temperature drop as if a curtain had been thrown back to allow a winter landscape into the theater. Several times he thought he saw the flicker of something at the edge of his vision and was gone the moment he tried to focus upon it.
Goggles.
What goggles?
Increase your focus, Elliot.
The jammer held out a hand in front of Elliot's enclosed face, extending his fingers as the caller twisted the tinted lenses covering his eyes. Abigail seemed to have stopped to focus on something unseen. Her lumatype's attached light projector streamed a purple beam across the auditorium like a lighthouse ray on the blackest of nights. Kincaid could see his and Faulkner's breath. The stationary projectors had a similar frost or steam rising from their tops.
Hey, I didn't get goggles.
Took an exposure. I'm changing plates.
Mel went to the larger lumatype and opened its back, removing a thin sheet of metal strapped across the back, one that curled and rolled up in her hand as she unfixed it from the device. She handed this to Kincaid.
Give it to Abigail.
Abigail was performing a similar operation on her smaller portable one as Kincaid brought her the sheet. Mel checked her brass pocket watch.
30 seconds, boss.
It sees us.
That was the cat, Artis. The other two cats, Yu and Jin, appeared from amidst the piles of spectral equipment, their backs arched, their fur standing on end. Cecilia suddenly sprang to her feet.
Come on, Kellen! We have to get out of here
sit
before—
Sit down, lady, or I'll sit you down.
Beside him, Faulkner edged a step away from Kincaid. Taking the thin sheath that had come from the lumatypes, Abigail knelt down on the stage and uncorked a bottle of some sort of liquid, tilted the bottle to soak a piece of cloth, and then ran this across the flattened sheets. She then held them up to the purple light. Kincaid saw what looked like colorful blurs appear on them, though he was too far away to get a good look.
I'm getting spectral marks. Nasty ones.
Come to me!
It's manifesting!
He pointed at what first seemed like nothing until Kincaid blinked. It began as a face, a mask, Kincaid realized. Wolf-like fangs jutted up from the corners of its lips. One elongated pointed ear aimed up, the other down. A crack ran down the length of one side, dividing its features like a scar. Its simian jaw jutted out beyond its thick brow, which hung in a mound over glowing eyes. Its brow furrowed, and the lips curled into a snarl. The spinning wheels on the stationary projectors seized up even as the light unleashed a blinding flash as bright as daylight. Kincaid felt the flash as it drove into his eyes with the force of an unexpected blast of wind. And before the theater went black on him again, he saw the spectral shape jolt into existence around the ochran mask. It was human, and it was moving. Blinded, Kincaid turned in Cecilia and Kellen's direction, desperately trying to remember how far he was from the stage edge. Someone moved past him and he followed, probing for the steps. He blinked hard and savagely rubbed one eye.
Help us!
Blurry shapes. Kincaid found the edge of the stage stairs with one foot, nearly falling, but instead letting his momentum carry him down them like a drunk. His teeth jarred at the bottom, but he could see arms flailing just ahead. He raised the baton. The same malfunctioning strange light projector gave another bright flash before its lights died entirely. Kincaid could smell smoke. Like a perfect painting, he saw the theater manager and her assistant on the floor before the first row of seats, their hands raised in helpless defense as a misshapen, ghostly figure hovered above them, reaching for them. The ochran mask floated where the spirit's face should have been. Grimes was charging in from the right. His gloved hands were thrust forward as if he were prepared to shove the ghost. To his left, Abigail aimed her lumatype like a cannon, its purple beam moving frantically. When the world went gray again, he swung at the mask. His baton connected, sending an explosion of agony lancing up his left arm. It was like striking a stone pillar, but he could sense his target give ground. So he flipped the baton to his right hand and swung again. He could make out the ochran mask turning to face him, its eye holes now an eerie blue-green. Without thinking, he shook his left arm, dropping his pistol from its spring-loaded holster into his palm. He raised it at the mask. Abigail's lumatype beam shifted towards the spirit. Grimes thrust his hand into the specter's center, and Elliot ML moved to protect the pair. The ghost had turned to deal with Kincaid. And then, it was gone.